Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Once again, God has blessed us to be back here at this place. I hope and pray all is well with you and want to encourage you as this year is drawing to a close that you keep your mind focused on the Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You know, we've been looking at these seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. And I just want to encourage our hearts and to remind us, take a closer look at what is transpiring on Calvary's cross. Because the more I study it, the more I see the importance of really trying to live this Christian life. As Jesus is being nailed to the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Amen.
And we live in a world that sometimes I don't think they know what they're doing.
No.
But it's good to know that God is always in control.
Amen.
So in the midst of my trials and tribulations, I look for Jesus. I don't know about you. The man on the cross recognized that as he was hanging between two twilights, he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom." Jesus says, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Wow.
Once again, Jesus, as he's hanging between these two twilights, he's not so much concerned about him, but he's concerned about his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So concerned about his mother that he tells John, "Behold thy mother," meaning that it was time for him to take over the responsibility of his mother. We live in a world that we are so thirsty for a lot of things, but Jesus' thirst, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Have God forsaken you because of your sin? Jesus, as he hangs between two twilights, is being forsaken by his Father because he will take on the sins of the world. And then Jesus here says, "I thirst." What do you really thirst for in life? How many of y'all want to be successful? Oh, y'all pretending like y'all don't want to be. How many of y'all want to be successful? How many of y'all are tired of going from day to day not having enough? You might as well be honest with yourself. But what do you really thirst for? Jesus here writes, says these words, "I thirst." And that's part of a biblical prophecy back in the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you that out of all of the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through, it got to the point that it was time to say it is finished. I'm going to show you that again. It was finished for our Lord and Savior, but it was the beginning for you and I. As he hung between these two twilights, Jesus realized that he had accomplished what the Father had set out to do. The Gospel of John recalls the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And if you know any about your history, this is not the first time that this happened.
No.
Exodus chapter 12 and round about verses 22 and following, God told Moses, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to take a hyssop plant, the same plant that they used to dip water, the vinegar, to give to Jesus, the same plant that they used to dip blood and put over the lintels and the doorposts so the death angel could pass by them." And so John recalls what is going to transpire. Here Jesus is prepared to be the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. If that don't move you, I can't help you. Because in looking at this and seeing the pain and the agony that Jesus went through, church, it ought to motivate us and it ought to drive us to be the best Christians we can possibly be. In Exodus chapter 22 and round about verse number 12 and 22.
Right.
Here they are commanded to put blood over the lintels and the doorposts. This is an example that of the day of preparation, that when the death angel came, he would pass by them. And so Jesus is our sacrifice on Calvary's hill.
Yeah.
And when we obey from the heart the gospel and are added to the body of Christ, when death comes, if we have lived faithful, the life that he requires of us, the death angels, y'all don't hear me this morning, is going to pass right over us. Amen. Because we're going to be children of the Most High God. Amen. The day of preparation, the day before the actual Sabbath Passover, Jesus was sentenced in John chapter 19 and verse number 14, the sacrifice on the cross. One thing different about John and Matthew and Mark, Matthew and Mark recall all the tragedy that Jesus went through.
Right.
It records how he walked through the streets, how he was beaten, how he was led from hall to hall. But John doesn't record that. John records his kingship. Very powerful. John records that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. John doesn't go through like the Synoptic Gospel goes through and describe the terrific death that Jesus faced. But John reminds the believers that he's the King of all kings. John picks up not with the tragedy that Jesus faced, but John picks up that he is standing before the Roman emperor. He is standing before them and they're going to accuse him, but they've already accused him. Matter of fact, John records that they have placed him as King of the Jews, where Matthew and Mark records him in all of his suffering. And so this morning, as we look at the sixth saying on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." And I don't know if you caught the little flower that faded away.
Amen.
But did you catch you in the background? Although Jesus is gone, it's time for you and I to get busy in the kingdom business. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." I want to encourage you as we look at this final saying from the cross. Jesus here knows that everything has been done. He has done the Father's will. He has completed the task that has been set before him. And he did it in such a way that in the midst of everyone deserting him, disciples you couldn't find nowhere,
right?
Only John. And then even his father turns his back on him. Why? Because he takes on the sins of the world. And as he hangs there between two twilights, as he thirsts and they give him the wine, the sour vinegar, Jesus yields up and says, "It is finished." And the more I think about it's finished, it was a sad day, a darkened day for man, but really it was a glorious day for man.
Amen.
It was a glorious day because without his death, Paul said we would be men most miserable. I'm glad he died on the cross to take away my sins. Now, what can I do to show my gratitude to him? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to show you this morning that we ought to be the most excited. We ought to be the most motivated. We ought to be the most encouraged people on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Because he did something for you. He died to free you. And I'm learning that when you allow him to free you, guess what? You'll be free indeed. I want to encourage you as we look at the final days of our Lord and Savior. He died that he could take away the sins of the world. And as he took away the sins of the world, guess what? He left you and I an example of what we must do.
Amen.
In Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus, as he lived on this time side of life, was an example of doing the Father's will. John chapter 6 and verse 38, he came down from heaven not to do his will, but the will of him who sent him. Matthew chapter 20 and round about verse number 28, Jesus said, "I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." And I'm glad he paid the ransom.
Amen.
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 Because when my time comes, I don't have to worry about paying nothing. Amen. You know, when you pay off that bill, come on, y'all, work with me. When you pay off that bill, don't you have a smile on your face? Ooh, I got rid of them.
Amen. That's true.
Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back where you're at. But church, when death knocks on our door, we should not have to worry about where we're going to head. or where we're going to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 57, Paul says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory. I have a victory Amen. On this time side of life Amen. As well as in the life to come. That's why I don't walk around miserable. Nope. Why? Because I know who's in control.
Amen.
Sometimes I got a penny and a nail in my pocket. I'm just as happy as I can be. You know why? Because it's not in the abundancy of what a man possesses that makes him happy.
Nope.
What makes me happy is to know that when this earthly house is destroyed, Jesus said, I'll stand before the Father and I will usher you on in Amen. To the other side. You know, that's some confidence that every child of God ought to have. And that type of confidence ought to motivate us, ought to move us, ought to take us to a higher plateau. But I'm afraid, just like Paul said to the church at Corinth, I'm afraid to, I want you to bear with me in a little frolic. Okay. Oh, yeah. He says, I have espoused you to one wife that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But Paul says, but I fear, lest by any means, as Satan beguiled Eve through the cunningness of her mind, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to think of past 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 3. Paul says, I fear Satan is going to destroy some of us. And how is he going to get it? With the subtlety of our mind. What's right? It's not right anymore. What's wrong is right. A little lie will still send you to hell. But man said a little bit of lie is okay. But that's not what God said. I don't know how it got there, but that don't cost you nothing either. Jesus here did the will of the Father. And as he says, it is finished. I have accomplished my Father's will. Now I'm leaving those of you that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, to the church, I'm leaving you an example of what you must do. 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 5, want to show you Jesus died on the cross that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. And in having the right to the tree of life, he has left you and I an example that we need to follow. He has saved us from our sins. And guess what? He has left us something to do in the process. He died to free us. And the question is, are we going to live to free somebody else?
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about. Sunday and Wednesday is a drop in a bucket. It's that Monday through Saturday when I'm out there in the world that I need to be the example to draw somebody to Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile man back to his Father. And as he has reconciled man back to his Father, guess what? He left you and I something to do. 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 5, and look at around about verse number 17. I don't know about you. I often think about the day that I obeyed from the heart the gospel. I often think about how he's brought me a mighty long way. Amen. And even as he's brought me a mighty long way, I've fallen short.
Me too.
But you know what? When I repent, he restores to me the same way I was when I went in the watery grave. But I want to show you, he said it is finished. He completed his task, but you and I must keep working the work of him who has sent us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. If he reconciled the world on the cross, you and I have the responsibility to reconcile the world on earth.
Amen. Amen.
And when we start reconciling folk, you won't get so caught up in your own mind. Amen. Amen. I'm learning that when you start doing what God said, all this other stuff really don't matter.
Amen.
Because one day, you're going to stand before his judgment seat.
Amen.
And when you stand before it, will it be well done or will it be depart? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account to everything that's done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says in verse 11, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. See, when God comes, We're going to be playing and doing the same thing we're doing right now.
That's right.
Amen. And then when folks start rising up and you still on earth, understand what the scripture said. There'll be two in the field. One will be taken and the other one will remain. Where will you be? Will you be one of the risen one? Or will you be one of the ones that are still on earth? The Bible says in verse number 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Jesus said, it's finished. Not for you and I. Amen. That's why we must work while we have blood in our life, when we're alive on this time side of life. It'll be too late to try to work from the grave. It'll be too late to try to get right when he comes. When he comes, you better be right.
Amen.
You know, it's not like you're paying a bill. Well, I sent it in the mail. No, when he comes, you better be ready, because you're going to stand before his judgment seat at that time that he comes. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. It is pointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. Amen. Verse number 20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he made him to be sin for us. And we need to understand something. Jesus didn't have to do it. He did it because his Father loved us. He did it because he loved his Father. He didn't have to.
No.
And he did it on his own authority. That's some powerful stuff. He says, no man taketh my life. I lay down my life. I have permission to lay it down, and I have permission to take it up. Boy, that's a power there. And guess what? He gave us that kind of... Y'all don't hear me. He gave us that kind of power. Church, we have the power to overcome many of the obstacles in our lives. What's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. We believe, but help my unbelief. That's our problem. We believe as long as things are going good. Loaf of bread under both arms, grits in the pantry. Boy, it's easy to believe in Jesus Christ. But let the money get funny and the change get strange, and you'll see who you really, truly believe in. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it's finished. But church, it ain't finished for you and I. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me. Wow, it's day, for the night shall come when no man can work. You can't work on the night shift. No, the night shift down there is either going to be paradise or it's hot. Ain't no in between. I want to encourage us and remind us that God has committed to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 21 says, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. That's what motivates me, to know that the God of heaven saw fit for me. Me. And I take it very personal. And you know why? Because I know where I come from.
That's right.
You ever forgot where you come from?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, y'all looking at me funny. Y'all look. You know, Malachi said in Malachi chapter 3, Malachi said to his people, you live in your celestial homes, and the house of the Lord lie in waste.
Wow.
I want you to go back and read that. Malachi condemned God's people because God's people had gotten so wrapped up in themselves that they forgot about the house of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Church, and I'm learning that when we forget about God, guess who stands at the door? Do you think every blessing you have come from God?
No.
Ephesians chapter 1 and round about verse number 3, the Bible says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, the physical blessings, there's another fella to give some of them too. You got to ask yourself a question. If I'm getting them from God, then I'm serving him.
Right.
Not haphazardly, but all the way. I don't know how I got there, but that don't cost you now. A couple quick points. Message is yours. Jesus says it is finished and has committed to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Point number one, we must continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, if we are to uphold the ministry that God has given us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. We must continue to understand that the task that is set before us is a task that we must live up to until the day he calls us from labor to the other side. We must understand that the task that is set before us, Luke 19, 10, is to seek and save the lost. The task that is set before us is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James chapter 1 and verses 25 through 27. What does this require? It requires total surrender. Jesus surrendered everything on the cross. And he did it that I have the right to the tree of life. That's what excites me. That the God of heaven would send his son for me. I can't repay him, but I ought to be trying my very best to repay him. Amen. My life ought to be indicative to what he teach. My example of life ought to be drawing folks to the cross. And then when I've done all I can do, I need to be doing some more. Church, I'm learning that this is a debt that you cannot pay back, but I'm so glad he paid it.
Amen.
And because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel, I can have the tree, right to the tree of life. It requires total surrender, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and through 26. And finally, what course will you take? Jesus understood his course. He was willing to forgive. He was willing to say you could be in paradise with him. He was willing to remind John, take care of my mama. He was willing to ask the Father, why did you forsake me? Even though he knew, because he took on the sins of the world. He was thirsty. Couldn't even get a cool drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep.
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all giving Jesus a cool drink of water? Or do you give him more of your problems, your trials and tribulations? You know, do you not know that we're cool?
Amen.
We're a cool drink of water. And when we do things God's way, God receives what is due him, the glory and the honor. And then Jesus says, finally, it is finished. I want to encourage us and remind us. That's about 14, 15 days in this year's history. The question is, how will you start 2018? I don't know about you, but I think it's time that as we look at what transpires on the Calvary's cross, that we ask ourselves a question. Are we truly his disciples? Or are we doing like Tiny Tim said? Are we tiptoeing through the tulips? I hope and pray I've said something this morning. That'll encourage your heart, church. I don't know about you. Jesus said it's finished. He completed the task that is set before him. And guess what? We will complete our task when we close our eyes in death. And the question is, will it be the task that he set before us, or will it be your own task? John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says, for the Son of Man, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ want to encourage you, look at where you're at. Stop and ask yourself some questions if he was to come right now. See, you can shuck and jive me all day long, but you can't do that to the Lord, because he knows our very being. I want to encourage you this year as it draws to a close. If you're on track, stay there. If you ain't on track, get on track. Don't allow Satan to derail us from doing the will of the Father. Somebody out there is looking for you.
Amen.
Turn and look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, somebody's looking for you. I ain't talking about the IRS. Somebody's looking for us. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for the joy, the comfort, the peace, the long-suffering, the forgiveness that come from God. They're looking for somebody to be able to say, in the midst of everything that goes on, I know a man that can take care of everything.
Amen.
What does it cost? You. And I think that's the key. It costs you in order to be saved. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you. You've heard the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. These are written that you might believe in, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you'll perish.
Confess that he is the Son of a living God. That's an ongoing confession for the Christian. Every day you ought to confess that he is Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and he is the Lord of your life by living your life to show the world that he is. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father, but deny me before men. He said, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teach that we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he adds us to the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.